2013, 20th of March, discussion Wednesday night.
Anyway, so that's where we're at the moment. It's really a bit of a mix and match, so we need to pray for this weekend that everything runs smoothly. And that, I mean, talking to Apostle Joshua last night, he was really upbeat, excited, and wanting to come and be with us. So tell as many people as you can, and we've yet to sort of send it out on Facebook. We'll send it out on Facebook to as many people as we know. Ring people up, say you want to come on for 3 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to try and get that group that came out of Congo and were in Rwanda that live in Sheffield at the moment. We're going to try and get them to come over and sing maybe 2 or 3 songs as well. So I'll ask Pastor Jolly to speak to them. We'll see what happens. Praise God. If not, I shall be here.
He's a lively character.
Oh, he is. He's a wonderful character, really, bless him. So that's this weekend.
Website.
I've had an email from Romania, from a lady we met. Was it the first time, or was it the second time?
Second time
we went. Second time we stayed. It's Pastor Daniels. A lady from Arad. Her and her husband came, and you probably heard me tell you the story where they came, and afterwards they came out for prayer, and God gave me a word for him, and I have no idea what I said to him to this day. And he'd had over the years so many people give him words of prophecy that, and none of them have ever come true, so he lost all faith and just shrugged it off to some degree. I went back 12 months later, and both he and her were that year that we first met them were in the process of separating. Marriage was on the rocks. Well, when we saw them the second year, and I think you came on the second year, they were transformed. Marriage was restored. He smiled, which was amazing. And he said to me after the meeting, he said, I want to show you something. He said, do you remember praying for me? I said, yeah. He said, I want to. I said, yeah. Well, he said, do you remember what? He said, I haven't got a clue. Well, he said, I'm going to show you what he said. And he took me outside and parked outside. It was I don't know if it was a brand new car, but it was certainly fairly new, weren't it? And he got this car. And to this day, I have no idea what I said to him. Obviously, it was something possibly about God was going to restore something soon that had been taken from him. I think it was possibly on those lines. And he said that God had restored. The word I'd given him had restored his faith in God.
Amen.
And the next year we saw them, and they have this little house in the village, don't they, just up the village road, and we went and had a meal with them. And she's been going on the website, Arad, this is this lady, Radhika. And I sent her a message the other night because for some reason my computer's lost her email address. So she responded with an email, and this is the email she sent. Dearest and beloved Grace and Andrew, I received your SMS and I'm very glad to hear about you. I'm looking forward to seeing you again in May. I follow you on the website. I'm listening your preaching. I could say that I belong to your local church. That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
You know, with the local church in Arad because of the website. So, and she says, I was very built up in faith, encouraged, and I feel so close in spirit.
Oh,
we are both well this time of preparation and discipline. It seems to continue. Sometimes it is very hard, but we know that is about God's plan for us, to give us hope and a future and to be part of his holiness, and this brings peace to our hearts. Love to you in Christ, Radhika. I've read it just as she's written it, bless her. So and you know, she does English very well, really, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So the website, She's using it, she's listening to it, it's encouraging her, it's giving them release and blessing. So praise God for that.
Thank
Amen.
You, Bill.
So it's a good thing. And we appreciate that the work that Bill does.
Oh, no.
And if you know, if Bill didn't do that, don't get done, would it?
No, it
isn't,
no.
And we just thank God you're still here. As well.
That's the bonus.
That's the blessing, isn't it? You know. So you know.
I think God's saying Bill's not going anywhere.
Yeah. But you see, when you look back and you see, and I'm sorry to you, I like using you and again because it's all right.
Bless him.
I know I don't get offended with me either, you know, because.
Watch it.
Just threats to send bouncers round. That's all, won't he? And. You know, we've said over this last, well, just under 12 months, I've seen it, and many of us have seen a different Bill in reality. And it's been a growing into faith and an understanding of the Word of God. And then, you see, so many people listen to the Word but never apply it. Never apply it to their own lives. And you know, you can have people who go to church and they're listening to the word, but they're not applying it at all. And it's not good enough.
No.
But the problem is today, too many people just want to hear a short word and leave church and not have to apply it. I'm going to share something else.
God says we've got not just hearers, but
doers of the word.
But
somebody just put a picture on Facebook, and it's of this arm that's tattooed all the way down. And, you know, it's just going to have it finished off in the next few days. So, I mean, I've seen these sleeves that you can put on, it looks like a tattoo, you know. So I sent a message and said, is it real? And I got a message back, yeah, it is. This is somebody who came to Christ and has been to Romania with us. I've had to pull him up once before, so I wrote back and I said to him, read Leviticus, I think it's 19 and verse 28 or 20 and 28. It talks about not having tattoos and piercings and everything else that they're doing the same, and not defiling the temple. And so I passed this comment across to him, and he said, I will. And then somebody then put on and said, oh, it looks fantastic. So I then went on and said, how much has this cost you? And it turns out that, in quotes, a Christian who goes to the church who runs a soup kitchen has done it for him. Cheap. Should have cost him £600, but it's only cost him 150. Okay. Now this kid ain't got a job, right? So I'm like, now if somebody said to me, I'll tattoo your arm for £150, I'd think to myself, hang on, there's a lot more I can do with £150 that will be absolutely more worthwhile. Sorry, Louise, I'm not having a go at you. I just suddenly realise I just can't see it, you see. And Scripture talks against it, defiling your body, because this is the temple. And I said to him, you know, what else could you have done with that £150? You know, and all right, if he wants to waste it, then go and waste it on somebody. And he's been out to Romania just recently. He's planning to do this building project for this lady. And it's like, well, you've just spent your next airfare out to Romania. Now, does money grow on trees?
No.
Because if it does, point me to the forest and I'll get a few bags. Oh, yeah. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not pleading poverty, but I just look at things and I just... And maybe it's just me, but I just look at things and think, well, 150 quid, I could have done a lot more with that. But then again, you might look at some things that I buy and think, well, I could have done a lot better with that than that, but that's fine. But I, you know, but I just can't see this tattooing thing. I'm sorry. You know, I really am sorry. But, and I look at Scripture, and Scripture just says no. And I just think, what is the church teaching? And we're not teaching. We're giving 20, we're doing an hour's worship. Not us, but what's happening. There's an hour's worship. There's 20 minutes of so-called preaching. What on earth the preaching? I have no idea. But in the end, that we don't create disciples. And I just wonder where the church is going. I really wonder where the church is going these days. Don't let's go down the same route.
No way.
No.
Well, let's go down the same route. And, I mean, you, would you have yours? Would you do tattoos again?
No. I mean, these only cost me what? Both of these combined come to £1.30.
Back in the
day. But these little ones, that both of them combined, came to 55 pence, but they could up 700 quid to fetch them off. And I'm not happy with the job that's been done either, because. Mm-hmm. When we get in summer and I start getting tanned, that bit where it tattooed, well, it doesn't get tanned, so it stands out white. And
because what it's done is it's damaged the
pigmentation
in your skin. Yeah.
We'll
get you some makeup.
I do put some on there.
You
have to keep putting that sunburn stuff on this one.
And I'm not getting it to anybody. I just never even get a thought. It's just that I was so, when I saw this arm, I thought, He's had this crisis done, and then of course, then he tells me it's a Christian that's done it. I'm like, oh God, honestly, you know,
Christians and just Christians.
Well, this is what we've been saying, isn't it?
Disciples.
What does that Christian read? Scriptures. What say about tattoos and doing the body? That's one thing. Obviously not.
God clearly
obviously
said, don't do it.
God wants us to.
Is the word tattoo in the Bible?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, long time then.
Oh, it's been there a long while, my love. Yeah.
Not a new thing,
oh no, they've been doing tattoos ever since the birth of man, just about, I would think, you know. And a lot of it, you see, was worship unto false gods. And you see, it's lost some of its meaning in that. Here we go, Leviticus 19 and 28. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead. Now, you see, this is where the roots, you've got to look where the roots are going back to. The roots were that at times they would do some worship to the dead, and they'd cut the bodies and let blood. Right? And part of this was, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Because the markings and the cuttings were false worship to false gods. And God says at the end of it, at that statement, I am the Lord.
If you remember with Elijah, Andrew, when they cut themselves, when they were waiting for fire to come down, they cut all the...
Yeah, prophets of Baal, false prophets. Mm. Yeah. The evil prophets cut themselves, trying to make their false god do something and set this wood on fire. Mm. And I mean, he just wound them up and says, what's up, is he asleep? One translation says, has he gone to the toilet? Living translation says, what's up with your god? Has he gone to the toilet? Is he sitting on the toilet, you know? Can't have to wait for him. And so he was goading them. And so he was goading them that much that they would continue to cut themselves and, you know, mutilating themselves, hoping that their god would do something. Can you see why?
They're like self-harming, but they were like self-harming.
Well, of course they were, self-harming. But they thought it was as unto, so that their god would...
Think more of them and do more for them.
Ah, crazy, isn't it? Self-harm yourself and we'll think a lot more of you.
No,
likely. It's crazy, you know.
I don't like pain. I've got pain barrier, but it left me a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, I can stand pain, but there's no way I'm going to cut myself on a purpose.
You don't openly...
Nobody enjoys pain, do they? I've seen some people that's done it.
If you're knocking nails in and you suddenly miss nail and you hit a bigger nail, which is on your thumb, you don't think, whoa, that one nice, weren't it? I'll just do it again. Eh? You don't, do you? The first thing you do is you grab your thumb.
Ouch.
And it's throbbing and it probably ends up in your mouth. You know, and you can feel it, you know, throbbing.
Oh, yeah.
You see? So, anybody who really is probably in any right mind used to say, no thanks. Well, come on, let's be honest. Those of you who go to the dentist and for a little tiny filling have an injection. Why? The reason is you don't like pain, do you? Hmm?
I don't argue with dentists, I just let them do it.
Yeah,
sure. I just say, put the needle away, just drill it. And I just, because I once had so much pain from an injection, I just, no way, keep that needle away. It's got to be desperate times, seven. But because I had it the opposite, but we don't gladly go looking for pain and thinking, oh, I wonder how I can inflict pain on myself today, do we?
You see people that...
You know, it's just not...
Psycho people that don't...
So here scripture is saying, you know, don't do it, I am the Lord. And I know people say, well, this is just the law. But then if you move into the New Testament says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not defile the temple. Right? I'll bring you another scripture in. The Bible says, Jesus said, that you are to be separate from the world. You're in the world.
I'm not of it.
But you're not of it. In other words, you're not doing what they're doing.
No.
You need to be... You see, the world's in darkness, and Jesus said you need to be the opposite.
Right.
You need to be the light. Not in the light.
The light.
Be the light. Mm-hmm. He said also, the world's, it's all bland. And you know what bland food like?
Right.
Put salt and flavouring with it, and it changes it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And he says in the Bible, you're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of humanity.
Mm.
And these things are all connected and tied together.
Mm.
And so that you and I, we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, we're the best thing that's ever happened on the earth.
Man.
You are the best thing that's ever happened on the earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
Because without us, they're living in darkness.
Mm.
Without us, their conscience are going to be seared with a hot iron. Right? And unfortunately, if you want to be popular with the world, don't be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, the world hates me, and if you're going to be a disciple, a follower of me and of my teachings, and doing exactly what I've done, then guess what? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. You will not be popular. So quit thinking, I want to be popular. You're not going to win a popularity competition. You're going to be last in it. They might want to stone you, in fact. Nobody wants to talk to you, you know. I've been to places and suddenly somebody says, he's a minister. Mm-hmm. And you see him.
I go to church, see you later.
Yeah, that's right. It's true. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
You know, it's like suddenly, have you got the plague? What happened to you? You know, I've just grew horns or something, or
they
barbs.
They can run quiet with them few words.
Yeah, can really, yeah. They don't know what to say, you see. But we need to go to the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Bible says, let's just look at this a bit further. Verse 31, don't turn to mediums or spiritualists. Don't seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God.
Yeah.
Right? And so God is saying, you know, there are things that you don't need to get involved in. There are things that are not good for you. And it's important that you stay away from these things. And see that God will move in your life.
Didn't realise that were in the Bible.
What?
You shall rise before the aged and defer to the old. In other words, like you give your seat upon the bus for a moment. As Bill was saying, some of the young people were more prone to do that than the older generation.
I was just reading that a bit different. It says in mine, you shall rise up before the grey-headed. So if I get up at 7,
there's always one, isn't there?
Verse 32.
Well, it says, yeah, you shall rise up before the grey-headed and honour the aged, and you shall revere your God.
I am the Lord. These are basic principles, one of respect for yourself, for your own temple. You know, you start harming yourself.
Self-harming.
So what does it mean, rise up before the grey-headed then?
Give them preeminence, allow them to be seated, let them take their place, show them respect. You see, they don't today. Kids today, they know it all. I've only lived 63 years, so I know jigger all. I mean, they've lived 14, 15 years, and they know everything.
Yeah, but
absolutely everything.
Well, I thought I knew everything at
13. Well, I didn't, because when I went to work, I certainly knew I didn't know everything, and I saw it. It's like, if you want to know anything, sit, be quiet. Simple term is, yes, watch and learn. Mm. Watch and listen. Watch and learn. You watch and learn, and I tell you what, you'll be smarter than the one who was rattling his mouth off.
Oh, I used to have to sit and listen to everybody rattle and speak horrible to a teacher.
Terrible.
Oh, it were awful.
I say,
especially to RE teacher as well. It was right upset me.
I remember there was a young man at work, and they'd taken him on as an apprentice at a company I was working for, and he started there probably a few months before I got there, and they sent him off to college. And of course he went to college and did his first year or something, came back, he knew it all, he knew how to do it, so he went on the shop floor to work with the men, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And when they offered him advice, he knew what he was doing. So after a while, I said, get on with it, boy. He didn't know diddly squat. He'd not got a clue what he was doing. He made more scrap. He got into more trouble. And then, of course, then when he starts turning and saying, can you just help me? No, you know what you're doing, you're all right, so carry on. He'd burnt his bridges, basically, with these guys. And in the end, I sort of took him under my wing for a while, and had to. First thing was to deal with his attitude towards other people. And began to get his attitude sorted out, and then I had to then go to the men who had got skills of 50 years nearly under the belt and say, look, you know, he's made his mistakes, his attitude's changing. Now you need to help him along the way, and you know. And finally, they did. They helped him along the way, and then actually later on, maybe a couple of 3 years later, I actually took him on into management to help me out, and he took over some of the jobs that I was doing, but he'd learnt his lesson, and he'd begun to listen, and realise in watching and learning, you can gather a lot of information without too much effort, and in the same time you gather respect from the people who are teaching you, and he did well, and I was able to, when I left the company, he was able to take on one of the major roles that I was doing in the company, and that, for me, that was great. You might say, well, what does it matter? Well, for me, it mattered a lot. That I had been able to train somebody up to carry out some key works in my job at that company. So it is about watching and learning, listening and learning. It's like when praying for the sick, watch and learn. Watch and listen in the realm of the spirit. What is God saying? You've heard me say in the past that how I came into ministry and praying for the sick, and that was, I stood with another minister who would get words of knowledge and revelation, and then suddenly one day I knew exactly what he was going to say before he said it.
And it's spending time respecting him, respecting the gift that God has given to that person, but also respecting the person in their personal approach to God, and learning from them. These things do not just come by suddenly happen. It's a relationship. You want to move in these realms and have ministry, then you have to build your relationship with God first. And then as you develop relationships with others at the same time along that way, and you will see God moving. God wants to use you as an effective tool.
Yeah, he does.
An effective person in the kingdom of God. It is not just for leadership. Every one of you has a ministry, and you have a ministry to fulfill. And I can't make you fulfill it. I can minister the word, I can share it. You have to desire it more than anything.
Yeah.
And as you desire to move in the things of God, then God will begin to work through you.
Yeah.
One of my desires when I first came to Christ and I saw people being healed, through that I came to Christ, I made a promise, Lord, I want to see that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see people being healed. And it was a desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that desire burned strong, and it came to its fullness. And I thank God for that. But it's God who heals, not me. But my desire is that to be that vessel, that channel that just brings people into contact with the power of God. And then God begins to move. And many of you have felt the touch of the presence of the power of God. And it's all come initially through me having a desire to be a channel, to be a vessel for God to work through. Because God has nobody's, no hands or no feet on this earth but yours and mine. And so his desire is to use you. You're saved as disciples to do the work of the kingdom. When you read, and we read it recently, how he sent out the 12. He sent them out, and physically they went out, and they went out preaching the gospel. They laid hands on the sick and people were healed. And then again he sent 70 more, and they went out, did exactly the same thing. That's the principles of discipleship. That's what God wants for you and me today.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid of talking to people at a checkout in a supermarket about Jesus. You know, they're off the guard when they zing, zing, you know, sometimes you can just zing them with the word of God and they're like, where did that come from? You know. And they can't get away. They can't run from you. You know, the satiness, zing, zing, and you're just chatting about Jesus, and it's zing, and I'm thinking, I wish he'd shut up, but I just can't get away because I've got my job's zing, zing, you know, and you're just like, zing with Jesus. And sometimes I just do that and share Jesus with them. And they're stuck there. They're trapped. All right, you might not get a decision, but you planted seeds. You've planted a seed. They might initially think you're a bit nutty, but hey, because they've thought you're nutty, it's actually, it's locked onto something. There's something being planted in there. And I just do it. I love doing that. I think it's great. Just take that opportunity, one or two seeds. And from those seeds, you just don't know what's going to spring up and what's going to come to pass. You know, somebody will move in and be the evangelist. One of you can be the evangelist. Somebody will move in and be the reaper and bring these people into the kingdom of God. And let's hope they find churches that teach the word. And we may never know until we get to heaven and suddenly one day God says, oh, you know, the angel says, oh, this is one of yours. What do you mean, one of mine? You look and say, don't remember you. Oh, yeah. Supermarket checkout. Really? Yeah. Morrison's. Wow. Don't remember. Garden centre, wherever it is, you know. Suddenly it's like, wow. Because it's all recorded down. Your life has been recorded. Everything you've said and done. Ooh. Can we just rub that one out, Lord, you know?
When you plant a seed, if you say, for instance, you're planting a seed of corn, when the corn grows, you don't just get
one piece of corn back.
No.
When you sow seed, you always reap more than you plant.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. God, and that's where, you know, God is the God of the 30, 60 and 100 fold. So whatever you do is going to have a 30, 60 or 100 fold return. We're not responsible for what happens to the seed after we've planted it. That's not your duty. The farmer is not responsible for the seed that he plants in the soil, is he? He don't go around thinking, oh, go and dig it up, check it's all right. You all right, seed? How are you? Fine.
Not now.
He don't know it, does he? He don't go on, you know, he don't spend time running around the field chasing the birds off, does he? He plants more than enough. The other day we were driving up from our house, and there's a big field on the right hand side going past Cusworth Hall, and I looked across as we were driving and I thought, it looks grey, that field in the middle. Yeah, it was grey. It were full of pigeons and they were devouring the middle of the field. And you might think, whoa, there'll be nothing left. Yeah, probably when it all grows up it's fine. Farmers planted sufficient, enough, more than enough, and the birds have been fed, and we'll have been fed, and everything's good. Because you see, God's a God of a bumper harvest.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shortage in the world. No matter what they tell you on TV, there's not a shortage. There isn't a shortage of food, there's a glut of food, and we're throwing a lot of it away.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. I mean, they're saying, what is it, over 20-odd% of houses throw away, no, most houses throw over 20% of their food away. That's a lot of food, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To be thrown away.
Well, if they can't
a fifth of the food, yeah. I mean, so, and then supermarkets, they're dumping it because it's out of date.
Mm-hmm.
So, on top of, and there's billions of tons of it being dumped.
Damaged,
dinted tins. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have to throw them away because tins dinted.
Do you remember when they had a butter mountain?
Yeah, the Google. Wait,
years ago, I mean, I was involved in the butter mountain.
Yeah.
I was on a project and we had a 2 or 3, 4 ton, I think, delivered of butter. And we were giving it out to people. We had this long line of people to come in and give him butter away. And I think we had something. I can't remember what it, but there were a few things. That were it. I know there were another product that we were giving away. So, and we were involved in. I was involved in that through our local church that we were involved in. And there ain't a shortage. No matter what they tell you, it's man-made. And as Grace says, there's greed that causes these things to be in short supply. So, but praise God, be encouraged.
Amen.
God wants to see you moving in power, and be, you know, there's not a shortage on the earth, and there isn't a shortage in heaven.
No.
Isn't that great? There's not a shortage in heaven, and so God's hand is not shortened for your needs. And so we can praise God for that. Pray for Dharma and the family at this time, and his mother. Dharma called me last night, and they're not giving his mother many hours really to live. And in reality, the family are preparing for the worst in the sense of her death in the natural, but she's been promoted to glory, and she'll have no more pain, no more suffering, and she'll be living, and she'll probably be chatting to my mother and saying, oh, my son knows your son, and this vice versa, and they'll be watching us. You know, the Bible says we're encompassed by a great host of witnesses, and those are the saints that have gone before us. And so we're separated by
an invisible dimension.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if God would open our eyes into the realm of the spirit, we would see that dimension. Because if you remember the story of Elisha, when his servant was panicking, was surrounded by an army, and God says, "Oh, open his eyes, Lord." Now the guy's eyes were open. He'd already told him he'd been seeing this army. You know, he didn't see it with his eyes closed, did he? "I've seen it. My eyes are open." "What do you mean, open my eyes? I've seen it." His Lord, open his eyes. "Go outside and have another look." Went outside and had a look and went, whoa. Around him, surrounding the army that was around them, was an even bigger army of angelic beings. Well, you know, you can get a bit, okay, bring them on. Come on, let's see what you can do, because you haven't yet seen who's behind you, have you? And that's what goes on. And we need to realise that God is there. The angelic forces are there on our behalf. We just got to call them into being, pray it in, and leave God to do the work and see the signs, the wonders and the miracles. That's where we're at. And expect God to be changing circumstances, situations, because we walk by faith. And not by our natural sight.
No.
None of us have seen heaven. None of us have seen God. None of us have seen Jesus. But by faith, we believe. I've only had one time when my spiritual eyes were opened. And that was the time in a big camp meeting. And I saw Jesus walk into the building, into the tent, and sit on the platform in an empty seat. And somebody then prophesied or spoke out that Jesus had walked into the place, and he was seated amongst us. And I thought, yeah, I've just seen it happen.
What did you actually see?
I saw the Lord in white, hair, with a beard, and I watched him walk down the centre aisle whilst we were singing Majesty, Worship His Majesty. And every time I sing that, it always reminds me of what I saw. And I watched him climb the side steps of the platform. I watched him walk across the platform, and there was a seat on the platform that nobody had sat in from the beginning of the meeting, which was right in the centre, just behind the rostrum. And he sat down. And nobody sat in that seat all night. It was empty, as far as a human being was concerned. But Christ himself sat in that very seat. And I saw that. And I'm thinking, how can I tell these people, 4,000 people, that Jesus has just walked right into the midst of us? And one of the old ministers who was moving in the gifts of the Spirit came forward, stood at the microphone and said, "The Lord himself has walked in amongst us and has seated himself amongst us." And I'm like, yes, and he sat right behind you.
Mm.
You know, he was. The guy was stood right in front of Christ. I dare tell nobody. Because
no.
Who'd have thought? What, you've been taking? I've just been taking the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Overdosing on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And got high on it.
Yes.
And so I'm telling you folks,
we can't see the
you can see in the realm, and I'd love to see more in the realm of the spirit.
I want to see the invisible.
No, it's invisible to the natural eye, but to the spiritual eye it's not invisible.
Mm-hmm.
We have an invisible God to the natural eye, but to our spiritual eyes he's not invisible.
Mm.
And we can move forward in God in a tremendous way, but you have to seek it. You have to desire this.
Yeah.
I'm not teaching things highfalutin. I'm not going to even try to do that. I want to give you the important things, the base things, the things that are important to us. And We don't want highfalutin doctrines. We want the mystery of the word taught to us, because this word of God is a mystery. And the mystery of the word sets us free, brings us into freedom, brings us into a release in the spirit that we've never known before. And so it's important that we reach out. I want to see each and every one of you go to another level. But, you know, and again, I come back to you now. You know, Bill went to another level in God.
He did.
Amen.
Yes. Went to another level.
Amen.
And in going to another level, and I'm going to say this, I say it to his face, he's not, you know, so I saw him change in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
I saw his attitude change. I saw his understanding of God change. And his attitude has also changed. That's powerful, that.
It is.
It's powerful. And only the Word of God can do that.
Mm.
Only the presence of Jesus can make that happen.
Mm.
And I think that's fantastic. And I rejoice in seeing things like that, because that's spiritual growth, and it's being manifest on the outside of a person. And the Bible says, by their fruit shall you know them.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no fruit, and you can go to Corinthians and you can read the fruit of the Spirit, you can go to Galatians and read there. Read the fruit and the gifts, and you see them, and you're being, that's a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a Christian, it's a disciple.
Mm.
A disciple will bring forth fruit, and the gifts of the Spirit will be seen and made manifest. For me, that's a goal, it's a target, it's something to go for in God. Paul says, desire the best gift. Desire the best gift. There's nothing wrong with that, desiring. Desire the best gifts from God. And as you desire the best gifts from God, God will give to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because God's not short. The gifts of God are not on ration. There is an abundance. Because God is a God of abundance. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic what God's doing. Amazing. So, what time is it?
Quarter to nine.
We've got to spend a little bit of time praying. Pray for Dharma. Pray for this weekend. Pray for our government, who is debating same-sex couples. You know, pray that they will make the right decisions for our nation. And that our leaders will be prepared to stand by the word of God, which they're not doing at the moment. They're standing by the popularity vote. And we need to see God moving in power. Pray for our nation. God will judge the nation. And maybe we could stand in the gap for the nation.
Mm.
And as we said, with the salt,
yeah,
with the light for our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not the light, and if we're not the salt, somebody else is going to come along and bring a false light.
Mm-hmm.
Bring something that's not good. So we need to pray that for our nation. Pray for the folk in government, that they will, well, make the right decisions, and make the decisions. Maybe they'll make decisions that they don't really know why they've made them. That's okay. Kings were made to bless God's people in the Old Testament. They gave them money and allowed them to build the walls and the temple, because the walls and the temple had to be built so that Jesus, the Messiah, could return. And without Jerusalem being built and without the city walls being built, Jesus was not going to be able to return. And so it was one of the important tasks that was given to Nehemiah. Build the walls. No, the temple had already been built. It had been rebuilt, but his task was now to build the walls. The temple had been done, but no walls. Had the walls had to be built. The gates had to be erected. Because he was going to come through. And it needed to be all there. And so these are were important things. And God had got them all in place. But the devil sought to destroy Nehemiah. Sought to deceive him and pull him out with
Sanballat,
Tobias, and somebody else. There was three of them. Always two or three of them trying to stop you and destroy you and badmouth you and get you sidetracked onto something else. Well, stick with God.
Mm.
Stick with the Word of God. And stick with the promises of God and watch God work for you and see God moving in power. So those are some things that we can pray for. Pray for Ivy as well at this time. Pray for
dad.
Roy, Louise's dad, whose needs, Graham's mum. And just believe God. And then you've got your own family who many, don't know the Lord as their own personal Saviour. Hey, be a witness, be a light, be an example. Be a bright light, be a good example to these people. And they're going to turn around and say, why are you different? Well, they asked. Be straight and tell them. And if they don't like you after that, that's okay. You're in the right household. You're in the right family. The family of God. And it's not, I don't mean offend them, but I mean lovingly, sincerely share faith in God. And when we share our faith in God, the problem is the reason they get upset with us is because it challenges them. And Billy Graham, when he was, when he was out as an evangelist, every meeting he challenged people. What are you going to do with Jesus this day? And the challenge is out there still, and the need is just as great. And each one of you can challenge people in a nice way to come and receive Christ and make him Lord of your life and be his disciple. I just think that's a fantastic opportunity. And when you've led somebody to Christ, it's one of the greatest thrills you'll ever experience. You might think healing, laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed is a great experience, but when you see somebody come to Christ, it's the greatest miracle that there will ever be. Because it's a miracle for eternity. It's not a miracle that is just for 60 years maybe because somebody got healed, but it's a miracle for eternity. And that person will be with Christ and with you in eternity, rejoicing in the presence of God.
That's what Jesus said, isn't it, to the disciples. Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah. That's the number one.
Yeah, that's the key. That your name, my name, is written in his book of life.
Amen.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And but it says we walk this walk. More and more is getting more and more people who are ringing up. And I had a lady from a shop, didn't I, just rang the other day. They're closing down. It's a sad story. A bookshop that's been running for 60 years or more, having to close down. They've had to sell the house to pay their debts off. etc. They're having to move into rented accommodation. They're a retired couple, really, and they've put, you know, they've put some 30 odd years into the work. And they went round the local churches, and they went to the biggest church in their city. And this lady had a meeting with the pastor, and she was shown into his office. She sat down. He stood up, went and made himself a coffee, came back and sat down, and asked her why she'd come. Never offered her a drink. So she explained to him, and he said, give me a good reason why we should even consider visiting and, you know, patronising your shop in any way. And she was like, she was stunned. She just couldn't really answer him. And really, she says, well, and I wasn't going to get a good reception, because when he sat me down, he says, and he went and made himself a coffee, and he didn't bring me one, didn't ask me if I wanted one. I'm not sure that that's a brother in Christ.
No, not quite.
And he's the minister of the church. And so what comes from the top must flow through the rest of the body.
Yeah.
He's not a shepherd.
He's not a shepherd.
No.
He's a glory seeker. Self-seeking.
Not in Doncaster.
No, no. That was... it was in Plymouth. Sad. Sad story.
Yeah.
An indictment on the family of God,
mm-hmm.
if it is a family, if they are a part of the family. Don't let it happen here.
No.
Don't you be like that. Don't let me be like that.
No.
Okay? It's not good. And if we never grow big, I don't care, because if being big means I have to be like that, then forget it. It's not going to happen. I just cannot compromise that. I look back and yeah, I mean, I've had people use me. Abusers. Both verbally, financially. And there are times when the enemy says, see, don't do it again. Don't give anybody another opportunity. Well, that's then just going like the rest of the world,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, can't do it.
Yeah. We need to have the compassion of Christ.
Amen.
We have to have the wisdom
yeah.
of God as well. And we have to have revelation to understand when people are.
Mm.
You know, and to expose people, but in the right way, so that they might come into the fullness of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
This is what this is making people face up to who they really are, is, and what's really in them. And certainly in that minister, what's in him? It is not the love of Christ. It is not a love for the kingdom of God, but his own kingdom seeking. And it's wrong. What we have has been given to us by God.
Freely.
Freely.
Yeah.
The talents that God has given to us as individuals has been freely given by God for you to use, not to bury, and not to use for your own self-gain.
Mm.
And that's a very important key. Today there are very few people who want to get involved in church activities, in church life. Missions work does not exist. We need to dig out some of the old books from the mission of the missionaries that went out to be missionaries, and you need to read them.
Mm.
People need to read them to be inspired, because it will inspire you to walk by faith. Trust God and believe that God answers prayer when your back's against the wall and there's no way out. There's only one way, and that's his way.
Mm-hmm.
The way of God.
I've just finished a book again, what I've read about 4 or 5 times, Lydia Prince, when she went to Jerusalem, and she was wondering where money could come in from next, and then she said, it's not my problem, I've just got to trust God and he'll bring it. And he always brought her more than what she wanted, what she needed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gone.
Mm.
But that's placing your life in his hands and saying, I no longer own my life.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a challenge. It's even a challenge to me. Yeah, I've got to trust God. I no longer own my life. What am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. And When you make a promise to God, keep it. Don't be like the world. When you make a vow, keep it. Because God listens. Listens to what I say, listens to what you say. I know he listens to what I say, because now and again he's pulled me up today, that's wrong. You need to go and correct that. So I know he listens. He's in on our conversation. Wow.
He knows everything about you.
Yeah, and he knows how many grey hairs I've got.
Before you do it. He knows where you'll be, at what time, what you're going to say, and who you're going to meet.
Goes before you, prepares the way.
Such knowledge is too too much for me, too lofty, said Dave.
Yeah, we're going to pray. And let's pray for these needs and these requests. We're planning to try and go out to Romania in May. So pray with us on that trip as well. And that God will open the right doors and bring the right people into contact with us and give us the right word to take out to Romania.
Yeah.
So, amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
So, every one of you, even if it's just a short prayer, you know, give thanks to God. It is good, the Bible says, to give thanks to God. Lord Jesus, I just want to say thank you that you called me into salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And you saved me from myself. And you gave me eternal life.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit so freely. And I pray for each of us that there will be a real desire in our hearts to step beyond where we've been and to go higher with you. Father, I pray that we shall see the gifts of the Spirit operational amongst the body. That, Lord, it will be a vibrant, lively anointing that we have that will be fresh each time we meet. But, Lord, each of us will have that confidence in you to step out and to go with you, to see great and mighty things. Lord, you only needed 12 disciples to turn the world the right way up. Father, what I just think what you can do with us is phenomenal. So, Lord, I give myself to you for that. Say, Lord, let me move higher.
We thank you, Lord, for the life and the faithfulness of Dharma's mum.
We do. Mm.
We thank you, Lord, that she's taught her children the right way.
Yeah.
Mm. And as her life's coming to a close, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll welcome her into your kingdom.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Amen.
And we know, Lord, that it's the ones that are left behind that go through a period of grief and sorrow.
Yeah.
We just pray for the family that you'll uphold
Lord.
Them.
Yeah.
And that you'll strengthen them at this time.
Mm.
I know that your faithful has done many others here tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
And we thank you for your faithfulness.
Mm.
We thank you for those arms so tenderly wrap around us in these times. And we just pray, Father, that you'll help each one of us to let go when the time's right.
Yes.
Because we know that in you everything works together for good.
It certainly does.
And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that your purposes always have a fruitful ending.
Mm.
And that there's always a meaning behind what you call us to walk
thank
through.
You, Lord.
And the paths that you guide us in. And we just pray tonight, Lord, that as each of our paths are different, they're all leading to you.
Mm.
And we're just looking forward to that day when one day we too come into your presence.
Mm.
We throw our crowns at your feet.
Mm.
And we worship you as, Lord, as in a such a pure form that we don't really understand down here.
Yeah.
But yet we just praise you and thank you because you've done so much for us.
Yes.
You've prepared so much for us.
Yeah.
You've given us all that we need.
Mm.
All we need to do is to grasp it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Father, where our faith is weak, we should pray that you'll strengthen us.
Mm-hmm.
And that you'll just draw us closer to you. Because without you, Father, life has no meaning whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going through an existence. And we just thank you tonight that we can say that Jesus has set us free.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's delivered us from the prisons that we've put ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
and he's delivered us, and he's given us every avenue that we need. So tonight, Father, we just thank you for that. And if there's anything that we need to address in our lives, just pray, Father, that you'll show us.
Yeah.
That we might deal with those areas ourselves. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, because you truly are worth it, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. The way you touch me, fill me with power.
Thank you.
Yes,
Lord, show me how you walk and work, Father.
Yeah.
And Lord, you've got a future in hand, Father.
Thank you.
You know things around me aren't definite, Father.
Yeah.
You know what you've got planned, Father.
Right.
Lord, just walk in your will, your footprint, Father.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for giving my brothers and sisters in this place, Father. Father, we thank you for God's family.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just pray for this weekend coming up, Father.
Yes.
Lord, it's the world is celebrating the power of me, Father. But we just want to celebrate with our brother Joshua, Father.
We do.
Lord, from Kikali, Rwanda, Father. Just pray we just fill this place, Father, with people who are wanting to hear what you're doing, Father.
Amen.
We want people to be inspired, Father.
Yes, we do.
For the faith to be quickened, oh Lord.
Yeah.
And Lord, let this be a beacon, Father, of encouragement and of blessings for other people, Father.
Yes.
In the world of small fellowship, Father, you've got us in our hands, Father.
Sure.
We thank you for the web page, Father. It's reaching out to different people in different countries, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But we thank you for the work that Bill's done on that, Father.
Yeah, thank you for the gift
and
you've
for the editing he's done after the word and the Sunday, Father.
Thank you.
That goes out in a professional way, Father.
It does. That
people are blessed by it, Father.
Thank you, God.
And we thank God for that ministry, Lord.
Amen.
Blessing, Father.
Yeah, enhance it
and bless Bill for doing it, Father.
Yeah.
Jesus' name.
And we thank you that you're encouraging, Father.
Yes.
To do that work, Father. And Lord, it's a good ministry, Father, he's doing that, Father.
It is.
And Lord, we pray your blessing even more.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you are doing in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your awesome love. Your love is just so wonderful. You've taught me so much about it.
Thank you, God.
You've taught me about forgiveness, judging, and I just know that I can lay my life in your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
The boss. You are. Whatever you say goes, and I want that to be in my life forever, dear Lord. I feel so happy in this church, and it's taught me so much.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for my mum.
Yes.
Thank you for what you're doing in her life, dear Father.
Amen. We do. There's a richness there.
She loves you so much.
She does.
She's such a blessing to us.
Amen. She is.
Please help me to know what I can say to her, how I can help her with her tummy troubles. And dear Lord, I pray for Natalie and her boyfriend, and help me to know what I can say. Thank you for what you have done in her life already.
Father.
And thank you so much for a lovely daughter. She's wonderful.
Thank you, Lord. Let us see her born again.
Yes.
Amen. Knowing you, Lord. Excited with you. Going to a higher dimension, Lord, with you.
And I thank you, Lord. I can just smile and go through whatever circumstance it is. I have no fear with you, dear Lord.
No fear.
I have the trust and faith in you, dear Father. And thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Roy, Father.
Yeah.
And Lord, the blessings you're doing in his life, Father. And Lord, we miss him, Father.
Yes, Lord.
On Sunday. And Lord, we just pray you just touch up his body right now, Father.
Yeah.
And complete that work of healing, Father.
Yes.
We want to see him back here walking.
We do.
Dancing before you, Father.
Amen.
Yes,
we do.
And praising you out loud, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, he's been an encouragement in the past, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, just restore him, Father.
Amen.
Restore the years that he loved as a Father. Lord, just restore him to full health right
yes,
now, Father.
Thank you, God.
Lord, I lift my mother up to you as well,
yes,
Father.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you'll restore her back, Father.
Yes.
To full health.
Amen.
That she'll be able to walk again, Father.
Praise
Lord,
God.
Nothing's impossible for you,
no,
Father.
It isn't.
And Father, you are Almighty God.
Amen.
You've spoken, it came into being, Father.
Indeed.
And Lord, you said, whatever we ask in faith, Father, two or three agree, Father, it shall be done.
Yes.
And Lord, we. With Bernard up to you, Louise's dad, Father.
Yes,
just ministering to his life, Father.
Amen.
Just complete that healing, Father.
Yes.
He needs at this time, Father.
Amen.
Lord,
God,
just restore his Father, his body, Father.
Yes.
So
just
we have to come, Father, on a Sunday and worship you, Father.
Amen.
And be an encouragement to Louise, Father, by being here.
Not just naturally, but spiritually.
Lord, we thank you for Louise. Blessings you've been, Father.
Yeah, thank you.
And the friendship
yeah.
with Tracy, Father.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, drawn and close, Father.
Yes.
Yes.
And we've got each other as prayer partners, Father.
Thank you, God.
We thank you in Jesus' name.
We do.
Amen. Father, we just pray for our nation.
Amen.
Pray for our leaders in government. Lord, we just ask that they may not know you, but Father, that somehow you will put your thoughts into their minds.
Amen. Yeah.
That they will act and make decisions, Lord, that may not be what deep down they really want, but it's what you want, Father.
Amen.
We want to see our nation come back to you.
We do.
Father, we want to see this nation to be a nation who is known as a godly nation.
Yes.
Not a multi-faith,
no.
but a nation that worships one Lord, one Saviour,
yeah.
and one God.
Mm.
And Father, we just ask that for every Christian that is an MP, you will, Lord, give them greater respect and you will empower them.
Yes.
And Father, you will help them stay pure in their acts and their deeds, Lord, and free from any corruption, Father.
Yes.
We pray that for each and every one of us.
Yes, we do.
That, Lord, they would act and, Lord, they would be light in the corridors of power.
Yeah.
And that, Father, you would bring around them other men and women of like minds, of like faith. Lord, to bring in the gospel of Jesus Christ back into our nation.
Amen.
The sanctification of our nation, O God.
Yeah.
But Lord, you've appointed this nation to this world to be a light. And Lord, you've used this nation as a great ambassador of the word of God. And Lord, there has been so many times that the word has gone out from this nation.
Yeah.
And many men and women have gone out and have declared the gospel and have taken the good news to many nations around the world. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, this nation would again rise up and be the nation of faith and righteousness. Be the nation, O God, that stands by your word and we will not compromise. And that, Lord, that we would see men and women being won to you again in our own nation.
Praise God.
And in other nations also, Father. That there shall be a mighty harvest, that there shall be a great reaping, and that, Father, that we might be in some way play some small part in this these end times, O God, that we shall see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords glorified within our own nation, that we'll see many Muslims coming to faith in
Amen.
Jesus Christ, and many Hindus coming to faith in Jesus Christ, Father, that we shall see the Word of God going out right through our nation and lives being changed and the people coming to faith and being full of faith and being faithful to you and to your word, O God. We just ask this, O God, that we're not asking just for ourselves, O God, but we're asking for millions of people in this nation and throughout the world, O God, that we might, Lord, be the messengers that go out and take the good news. That Jesus is risen.
Amen.
That the enemy, Satan, is defeated.
Amen.
and eternal life is in Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Wonderful Saviour.
Dear Father, thank you for your word. I find it so powerful, so helpful. It brings me into a closer relationship with you, and I love it. Mm. I'd like to pray for people who, I don't know, can't seem to come to that understanding or realisation. I find it such a help. Dear Father, help me to know what I can say to people to encourage them to use your word as it has helped me. Doing the fasting really did. I spent a lot of time in it and it was wonderful. Because I want to come to you and just put all my trust in you. I don't want to come and fellowship with my problems. I have no problems with you, dear Father. That's one thing I don't have. I just kind of picture with you all together. And I thank you for bringing that realisation into my life. I'd like to see other people using that as well and seeing it. Thank you, dear Father, for what you've done in my life, dear Father.
Thank you.
I'd like to pray for my dad. Dear Father, he just seems to be so close yet so far. And he's having problems with his health at the moment, with his breathing. And dear Father, please help him. Send your angels around him.
Bring him into the kingdom.
Yes, bring him to this church. I'd love to see him at this church, dear Father. Pray for my dad.
Help me spiritualize. Say, Jesus.
Help me to know what I can do to bring people to you, dear Father. To people who are close to me. I'd love to have prayed for and... been praying and I can sit there and smile and know I've got you and feel strong. I want them to see that strength in me.
For the Lord has seen the seed that you have sown into your own vineyard and into the nations. He's seen the seed that's gone into the ground. Sometimes in desperation, sometimes in heartbreak, sometimes in frustration. The Lord would say to you, he's sending his servant again across your path. But now is the time for reaping. The Lord would say that you're about to reap what maybe you haven't sown. But one sows and another reaps, and the Lord gives the increase. And this is the time for the harvest, for the reaping. The Lord would say to you, listen, listen to him. Do as he says. You will indeed see the harvest.
I pray for Pat, dear Father. I want to bring her closer to you, dear Father. Put her trust in you more and more, dear Father. I pray, dear Father, for my friend Julie. Help me to know how I can help her. What I need to say, if I need to say anything, dear Father. Help me. How can I be of help and guidance and love towards her, dear Father? I trust you, dear Father, in that area. Thank you, dear Lord, so much. Put my trust in you and faith in you.
Father, we just give you thanks for this time we can spend in your presence. Unafraid.
Yeah.
And we can spend time with you. Father, I just pray that each and every one of us would continue to
grow closer to you.
Yes, dear Lord.
And to be more like you.
Yes, dear God.
Father, that your beauty, your glory would be seen in each and every one of us, Father. We want Jesus to be seen in us, oh God.
Oh, we do.
Lord, the enemy would seek to attack us and to destroy us. Father, help us to realise when he comes in against us. And we pray,
yeah.
Father, that you would lift up a standard against him.
Yes.
Like a flood, oh God.
Oh, yes.
And drive him from us. Help us to stand for you.
Yeah.
To be a light, to be the salt. Father, thank you for your protection.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your care that is daily upon us and we often forget. But thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, there are times that we could maybe have been injured and maybe even killed, and we may not even be conscious of it, oh God, at times. But Lord, you're keeping us. For you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us to fulfil. I pray, Father, that we will all fulfil the great plan that you have for our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.